Coming to you now is Lahem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome again to Lahem Panim. As always, it's good to have you with us. And if you've been following our study of the book of Acts, you'll remember that Paul, now on his third missionary journey, has come back to the city of Ephesus. And it says in verse 8 of Acts chapter 19, "And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God." And so for 3 months, it says that Paul is reasoning and persuading. Now, those two words, reasoning and persuading, they keep cropping up in and throughout the book of Acts. And the first one, dialogamai, it simply means reasoning. It's where we get our word dialectic or dialogue. It's a back and forth, question and answer type of thing. And the second word, patho, it simply means to persuade or convince. Well, what is Paul reasoning and persuading the people about? Well, verse 8 tells us that it was about the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, Paul no doubt focused not on explaining how the kingdom of God functioned internally, but no, how people could gain access to the kingdom of God. Because if we fast forward to the very last two verses of the book of Acts, which find Paul in Rome, it says he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You see, at the center of all of his teaching was the nature and person of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he came to earth to do, and how in him we can have eternal life. It's only in Jesus that we can have access to the kingdom of heaven. And so Paul's focus is on teaching the word of God, expounding what it says about Jesus Christ, and also defending the Christian faith. Now, unfortunately, as always happens, it seems, some people harden themselves against Paul and against what he is preaching. It says in verse 9, "But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus." And so these particular Jews from the synagogue, they became stubborn or hardened, your translation might say. By the way, just as a side note, the word in the Greek here for hardened or stubborn is in the imperfect tense. And so this is an ongoing process by which they slowly but surely become more and more hardened. It didn't happen all at once. No, it was progressive. They had become gradually more and more hardened against Jesus and against the message of the gospel that Paul was proclaiming until eventually their hearts are kind of like rocks. I mean, just solid, vehemently set against what Paul is saying, and they're refusing to believe. Now, unfortunately, they weren't content to merely passively and respectfully disagree. No, as Jesus said, darkness cannot abide the light. And so we see that they begin speaking evil of the way, which was the name given to early Christianity. In Matthew and Mark, this same word used for evil is kakalageo, and it's actually translated "they cursed." And so what we're seeing here is a vicious attack at Christianity. And that was no doubt because Christians were proclaiming that the way to the kingdom of heaven was through Christ and through Christ alone. They weren't a way. No, the way of Christianity, the way of Christ, was the way. They knew and they proclaimed there is only one way to salvation. And you know, that's a message that still, even today, invites the curse of the world. But you know, that's the message that the church still needs to proclaim. However, here, as we've said, it invites the curses of these unbelievers who are cursing the way in front of the whole multitude. Now, your translation may say congregation, and that's not wrong. Just keep in mind, we're not talking just the church congregation. No, the word plethos, from which we get our word plethora, is literally used to describe a multitude, a crowd, a great number or assemblage. Now, you can imagine how disrupting it must have been for Paul to be preaching in the synagogue and have these hardened Jews stand up and literally curse him, curse his message, curse his Lord, and the disciples. And so, understandably, this forces Paul to withdraw from the synagogue, which of course he does, and it says he took the disciples with him. And so he moves his teaching ministry to a local schoolhouse, the teaching hall of Tyrannus. Now, we don't know too much about this guy, Tyrannus, other than that his name literally means tyrant. Now, I'm sure many of you had teachers who were called tyrants, but most likely not because that was their name. And hopefully that wasn't a reflection on this guy's teaching style. I don't know. I just wonder about this guy's parents. I mean, pretty cruel to actually name your child tyrant. Nevertheless, he appears to have been a teacher of some renown. And Paul uses his school to carry on the teaching ministry of the church. And thus, this is the very first Christian church that meets in a school. And thankfully, there have been many since then. Some of you may have attended a church started in a school. Or, as I did, a school born out of a church, which my kids do now as well. And some might say, well, isn't Paul here kind of allowing the church to become unequally yoked with this tyrannous guy? But you know, the answer is no. Because they're not sharing philosophies or becoming yoked in their beliefs. No, they're simply sharing a building. And it's perfectly fine to meet almost anywhere as long as the church keeps the purity of its identity and its doctrine, which of course they were doing. Now, like I said, we know nothing about Tyrannus other than that he was likely a philosopher who, like any successful philosopher of his time, started a school and was teaching others his philosophy. And he seems to have done pretty well, and people are coming to hear him, but the school was available during the day. And at this point, let me share with you something very interesting, because there's an ancient Greek manuscript that adds the fact that Paul taught in the Hall of Tyrannus from the 5th to the 10th hour. Now that would mean from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's 5 hours. And notice how verse 9 tells us how often he did this. How often? Daily. That's a pretty heavy schedule to do in addition to your leather-making business. There's no way that he could have kept that up for very long, right? Well, no. It says in verse 10, this continued for 2 years. So for 2 years, 5 hours a day, 7 days a week, Paul is teaching the Ephesian church. That's how dedicated Paul was to the ministry of the word. How important he saw it was for people to get deeply, and I mean deeply, ingrained in the Word of God. Now let me expound that just a little bit more, because that reality is further enhanced when we know a little bit more about Ephesus, because Ephesus, like all the Ionian cities, it had a very interesting schedule. Everybody would work until 11 a.m. and then stop. And then they would pick up work again at 4 p.m. Do you know why? The heat. The absolutely oppressive heat. People would sleep midday and then get up at 4 and work into the night or the early morning. In fact, one Asian writer says that there's more people awake in Ephesus at 1 a.m. than there are at 1 p.m. So what would happen was Tyrannus would teach in his school in the mornings and probably resume for a little bit in the evening. And so the time available to Paul was 11 o'clock a.m. to 4 o'clock. And so he takes that time slot and he uses it to deliver 730 five-hour sermons over the course of 2 years. Let me repeat that. 730 five-hour sermons over the course of 2 years. Now that tells us two things. First, it shows us the level of commitment that Paul had to this ministry. He took advantage of whatever opportunity that God gave him to preach and teach the Word of God. But you know, it also tells us something of the tremendous commitment of these early Christians, because keep in mind, they were giving up sleep to hear Paul preach. Not only that, but they were sitting there in that lecture hall, cooking in the heat, just so that they might come to know the way more fully. You know, we here in the Seattle Renton area, we complain of our yearly heat wave, and yes, it's unpleasant. Some churches even shut down, and some for justifiable reasons, such as keeping watch over the elderly who might try to come when they probably shouldn't during the excruciating heat. But nevertheless, I want you to see how hungry these Christians were to hear the Word of God. I don't know if I've ever been that hungry for the Word of God, but these Christians were. And that's what made ministry in Ephesus so explosive, because God always meets with Christians who devote themselves as students of His Word. May we also be that hungry. Now, was this the only time that Paul taught? No. As unbelievable as it might seem, he's also leading evening Bible studies. If you don't believe me, look at what he says to the Ephesian elders in chapter 20, verse 20. He says, "I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house." In verse 31, he says, "Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears." And that 3 years includes the 2 years, the 3 months, and a little extra time. Now let me tell you what this looked like for Paul in terms of schedule. Paul would make tents till 11 a.m. He would teach till 4 p.m., make tents till 8 p.m., and then teach till 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., then go to bed, get up, and repeat. Now, in light of that, I want you to look at chapter 20, verse 27, because I promise you, you will never look at this verse the same way again. Because to the Ephesian elders, he's preparing to leave in charge of the church there in Ephesus. He says to them, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Man alive, he sure did. He was not exaggerating at all. He really did declare unto them the entire counsel of God. And do you know what the result was? What the result of one man setting himself to proclaim the Word of God that fervently was? Look at verse 10. "This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the Word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks." How incredible is that? And you know what else we discover when we dig a little deeper? All seven of the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 were most likely founded during these 2 years. All of them. And so at least six other churches were born out of the ministry of this one single mighty minister of the Word of God. Now, how did all this happen? By spreading out all over Asia Minor, trying to make sure that everybody hears at least a basic presentation of the gospel? No. It came by teaching the Word of God, making disciples who are deeply ingrained in their faith. And those disciples naturally reproduced themselves all over Asia Minor. And when Paul eventually left Ephesus, he left it strong and filled with elders who were ready to become pastors. to whom he could entrust and did entrust the ministry of the word. Now, let me make one more comment about the evening Bible studies that Paul had, because I want you to picture this mighty man of God, after a long day of tent making and teaching, coming to your door. You say, would he do that? Absolutely, that's what he did. Why? Because Paul had the heart of a shepherd. He cared about people. His heart burned for every person to know the light of God's word. Now, let me ask you something. Is your heart burning like that for anyone else? To know what you know, to experience what you have experienced? Are you willing to give of your time, to give of your sleep, to become uncomfortable so that somebody may come to understand the Word of God and the gospel more deeply? Who are you doing that for? If you don't have anybody, I implore you, find somebody. Somewhere out there, and probably not far from you, there is someone waiting for you to help guide them into knowing God's word and walking with Jesus Christ. Let us be faithful to find those people and to pour into them the full counsel of God. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.